Day of what? February 18th. It's like, I still remember December, and it's already February in a new year. I'm like, am I really getting that old? That the time is passing by that much faster? But I guess time doesn't wait, huh? Somebody say something? You can go ahead and say it, it's good. But God is good all the time, right? Yes. Amen, amen. And we had, what, ice on the windshields this morning, so that's that South Carolina weather. It's going to be ice today and be summertime next week. So if you hadn't used to it, get used to it because it's coming. But as I mentioned too, you know, there's a lot of tragedy going on. Earthquake in Turkey and Syria, and we've got the train derailment in Ohio. And it's day 360 of the war in Ukraine. Coming up almost on a year, 360 days. It's just, be glad when Jesus gets here, right? Amen, amen. So I want to thank all our visitors for being here, and members too, we don't leave them out. And those that may be watching, those that may be watching on social media also, thank you for being here. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for watching over us. We are here today, Lord, only because of you, because of your blessing, your mercy, and your grace. So be with us this year, the days that we may have, that you grant us, that may we tell others about the love of Christ. That's our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. So, like I said, it's February 2023 already. The year is moving along. And so we have, you know, moments of blessings, moments of trials, hardship, like Stace mentioned, you know, we all have different things going on in our lives, on our jobs, even if you're not working, you know, things that you're doing that could be good, be bad. In Ohio, you know, they got the issue going on there, those that are living in that area. But we know God is still in control, right? God is still in charge. God is in control. So, and today's sermon, I wanted to just talk about remembering, you know, God. And then, but the word promise kept coming to my mind. I'm like, okay, I'm doing it on remembering. Then the first thing would come with me, promise. I said, okay, God, you want to talk about promises too? So I got to put it all together. So we have to be obedient to what God has for us. And so, young people in the audience, we're going to do a little history. My brother, cousin, he can relate. People my age, we can relate to what I'm going to talk about. Those that are younger, you know, I talk to people like my son, you know, talk about things 20 years ago, 30 years ago, you know, maybe even 40 years ago. And when I say that, you know, you think about things in the 80s and in the 90s and even in the 2000s. But then it hits me, you know, like in the 80s, that's when I graduated. You know, they're thinking it's a long time ago. I'm thinking it's not that long ago. It's when I graduated high school, you know. And in the 90s, I was in the military just starting. And so it's not that long ago for me. But for the young people, it's like, oh, that's ancient history, you know. So I have to think about, okay, yeah, my wife says, yeah, you're getting older. I was like, yeah, I'm getting older. I'm not old yet. But she said, no, come on, might as well face reality. I'm like, okay. So you have to get out of that state of denial and just accept what the reality is. My cousin, he's shaking his head back there. So, but like I said, God is still in control. He's still watching over every aspect of our lives. And so we're going to go over a few things. You have in your bulletin too, I kind of put a little outline in there on some of the things we're going to talk about. And like I said, for the older generation, we've experienced those things. You know, it might have happened just like for my case in the 60s, just when I was born, but I can remember and relate to those items. So first one, January 28th. 1986. So we remember what that was, right? The space shuttle Challenger exploded. And just to give you a little history, it exploded while in flight. It was 73 seconds after takeoff. It happened at 11:39 a.m., and there were seven astronauts on board that lost their lives in that event. And if, you know, you can do the research and history, but those that were there, we saw on the news, and they did the, you know, subsequent after-action reports to find out what happened. And there are O-rings that are located on the orbiter that seal certain compartments. And what had happened that night, it was extremely cold. It was more cold than what they think is going to happen. The temperature just dropped. And what happened, the O-rings are brittle. Well, they were rubber, but they stiffen up. And they're supposed to be flexible so it can give when the orbiter takes off. What happened, the O-rings had stiffened up at takeoff. You've got G-forces on the orbiter, so it's going up, it's rotating, it's going through the atmosphere, all that pressure and turning. The O-rings failed, pressurized gas came out, and that's what caused the explosion. And so those kind of things happened. November 9th, August 12th instead. We're going to go to that first. Because we know about the Berlin Wall coming down in 1989. But I went back and looked and saw when it was erected, when it was built. And it was built in 1961. So that was a year before I was born. So, you know, like the young people, like I said, they're thinking, how, when? The 60s? That's ancient history. But, so in 1961, and what happened, you know, there was East Germany and West Germany. So then you had the main city, Berlin. So you had East Berlin, West Berlin. Well, the reason they put the wall up, Soviet leader Nikita Khrushchev, there was a lot of defectors coming from East Germany, East Berlin. Workers, professional people, laborers, that kind of thing, looking for jobs and opportunities. So there was nothing in the East. So they were all coming to the West. And so because of that, they said, we can't let all these people keep leaving our country. We got to keep people up here. So they put this wall up, and this wall went straight through the middle of Berlin. So of course you got families cut off, you got neighborhoods. They didn't care. They didn't say, okay, here's a neighborhood, we're gonna go around it and do this. No, they just went right down the middle. And so you had families separated. I mean, this was overnight. Now the wall itself wasn't built overnight. They put the barbed wire, like 30 miles of barbed wire overnight, separated. And then they put the walls up. But if you actually look at on the History Channel, there were actually two walls. So you had a shorter wall on the east side and a higher wall on the west side. And in the middle, about 160 yards, you had what's like a no man's land. So you had your guard towers, you've got your dogs, you've got your machine guns, you've got trenches. So anyone crossing the wall, if it was just one, they could just cross and be in there. So they got smart and said, we put the first wall, then you got to run to get to the second wall and then get over it. And a lot of people died because of that. So that was tragic. But then in 1989, the wall came down. And interesting fact, like I said, I was in the military, and I just happened to be stationed at Barksdale Air Force Base. That's where we were stationed. And Barksdale is home of the B-52 Stratofortress. Stratofortress bomber. So it's a large aircraft that carries bombs, and it goes up at a high altitude, and then once it reaches target, it drops the bombs on its target. So at Barksdale and other bases that have these type of aircraft, we always had a couple of aircraft on alert. So that means the aircraft was fully loaded, fully armed, crew was standing by either in the aircraft or in a hangar nearby, and the engines was running, ready to go. And so when the wall came down, we didn't do it immediately, like 2 years later when George H.W. Bush gave the order to bring the planes off alert. And so, you know, you used to go on by the flight line and hearing this loud, I mean, these engines are loud. And so when you drive by, you can hear it. So when they cut the engines and I'm not hearing the noise anymore, I'm like, what happened? And that was a serious security concern to not have that aircraft ready at all times. So I radio in, what's going on? Oh, the plane came off alert, you know. And so that was a major event that I remembered because I witnessed it. And people can see, you know, they can say they remember where they were when the Challenger exploded or when this event took place. So, and that's another one. Here's one that young people may can relate to, Y2K. Everybody remember Y2K? She's laughing. Yeah, so, you know, that was the computer system. And so the computer system is based on numbers, binary code. And so it initially started out in the 1900s. Now you get into the year 2000. Well, the concern was the computers going to be able to recognize the year 2000, or would it revert back to 1900? So there's a big concern about financial markets crashing and economies crashing, and you know, a lot of things running by computer, aircraft, you know, all that kind of thing. Is the plane going to fall out the sky because it goes to the year 2000, everything crashes? Well, the computer programmers had already identified the problem and already had put fixes in to correct it. So there was only a few minor glitches, you know, here and there globally, nothing major. You know, I had told Lucky, we was living, I forget where we were, 2000, that would have been here in South Carolina, Johnston. Yeah, okay. See, I gotta keep thinking. I said, well, you know, we was talking about today in the Sabbath school story about giving to the poor and the rich. I said, there's too many rich people who got money to not gonna let this happen. They lose all their money. I said, that's not gonna happen. I said, we're good. Don't worry about it. We're straight. So, but like I said, nothing came of it. Yeah, it was pretty much taken care of. The major one, September 11th, 2001, of course, 911, the towers. And I did some research, and it was some interesting facts that I didn't know about. So there was the attack on the World Trade Center, then also was the Pentagon, and then also there was the attempt to fly a plane into the Capitol building, but the people on the aircraft of Flight 93, you know, had heard about what was going, because the plane changed course and they was calling what's going on, then they got word that the towers had been hit, Pentagon had been hit, and so they realized this plane, since it had changed course and it wasn't normal, that it was heading somewhere. They didn't know where, but it was heading somewhere to do some of the same thing. And so, of course, we know that they stormed. At that time, the cockpit wasn't locked. It was just open. You could go in and whatever. And so more than a couple, stormed the cockpit and caused the plane to crash in Shanksville, Pennsylvania. So we know about that. But with the Pentagon, with the World Trade Center, the time was 8:14. The World Trade Center, it was completed in 1973. It was a 16-acre complex. Now, I'm just thinking the two towers and the little buildings around it, but it's actually a 16-acre complex in Lower Manhattan. It contained seven buildings. There was a large plaza, and it had an underground shopping plaza. I didn't know that. I was just thinking the buildings on top, and that was it. But there was an underground shopping mall that connected six of the buildings. And so we know that the attack destroyed the towers and all the buildings that were there. And so the last one I'm going to talk about before we get to the main part is December 21st, 2012. Anybody remember that? December 21st, 2012. Now that was dealing with, say, he's shaking his head, the Mayan calendar. Remember 2012, they said the world's going to come to an end because the Mayan calendar, it was, you know, watching the Mayan calendar and reading it, and it just ended on December 21st. Well, yeah, 2012. So they said, oh, well, the Mayans, they got this elaborate calendar system, and all of a sudden, they don't have anything past 2012. So the world was going to come to an end, you know, and that was the big scare. So if you look it up on the History Channel, it's actually called the Mesoamerican Long Count Calendar. That's the Mayan calendar. And because the world didn't end, they said, okay, well, what did we miss? Well, they went back and looked at it. And so what the Mayans had, you know, they have different things that they go by. So it wasn't so much the end of the world, but the end of that age and the beginning of a new age was what they were saying. That's what had come out. So this calendar was based on a 5,126-year long cycle calendar. And the calendar is based on a mythical creation date that supposedly corresponds to August 11th, 3114 BC. So their calendar supposedly goes back to, you know, 3000 BC, you know, and that's the starting date, and then
goes up to now. And so the Mayan civilization includes, I didn't know this either, but includes the countries of Mexico, the people in Mexico, Guatemala, Honduras, and El Salvador. So there was a lot of events. And other things that, you know, had happened too, I just picked those five things to talk about. And so you may be asking, okay, well, what does all this got to do with anything? It's just a bunch of random stuff. But you think about those events and what took place. So what were some of the results of those things? There was grief, you know, things going on, the war is going to end, you know, the Challenger 911, there's grief, there's loss of life, there's, with the wall, there's the separation of families, neighborhoods and friends, there's fear, there's anxiety, all those things that we have going on today. Things happen and we question, you know, what's going to happen next? You know, you see the war in Ukraine, is that going to happen here? You know, we see all the tragedies with the earthquakes and the oil spills and the train wrecks. And, you know, we had one just happen in Graniteville some years ago. I don't know if y'all remember that. We had that happen in Graniteville. It's right next door. So all these things can play on our minds. And so what do we do? Who do we turn to? So I have some examples in scripture on how we can turn to God. We can look at examples in the Bible and say, well, that happened, and look what God did. This happened, look what God did. So we're going to explore some of those items today. And like I said, the Bible's full of many of them. I'm just going to touch on a few today, and there may be some that's your favorite. So I just encourage you to read those lessons when you get home. Read those events and see how God worked in the lives of those people. So the first one that I have is, we was talking about this morning, me and my cousin, the three Hebrew boys. We was talking about that. Think about them in Daniel chapter 3. We see the three Hebrew boys were thrown in a fiery furnace. Fiery furnace was heated up seven times hotter than it normally was heated because they had defied Nebuchadnezzar. They said, Nebuchadnezzar, it doesn't matter. We're not bowing down to your image. You can kill us, throw in the fire. So he got mad. He said, okay, that's how you want it? Hey, go turn that furnace up seven times higher. I got a couple guys I need to really cook. So, but he was in for a story. So when I read that, I'm reminded of Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6. And I'm sure this applies to them as well. It says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And that's what we can lean on today. It says that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. And that was a touching story Stace had about her job, you know, with the finance. You know, here's little her, you know, saying that, you know, I found this discrepancy, and now this other company is involved. She could have lost a job over that, but she stood firm to what she knew was right. We look in the book of Luke. The shepherds were watching over their flocks, you know, time of Jesus' birth. And here the angels show up, and all this light and glory is around them. Did the shepherds run out and say, oh, yeah, there's the angels? No. They were afraid. They said, what's going on? What is this? They were afraid. But when the angel got to them, what did the angel say? Exactly. Fear not. He said, it's okay. Fear not. Don't worry. Everything is okay. When Mary was pregnant with child, and the angel Gabriel came to her and was going to tell her about the good news of the baby she was carrying, did Mary say, oh, yeah, I've been waiting for you to come and show up and give me the good news? No, she didn't say that. She was afraid. She was, you read the scripture, it says she was confused. She was frightened. She was trying to figure out, okay, this angel's here, and, you know, what's going on? And did the angel say, well, you should know what it is, you know, this says, you should already know this. No. The angel said what? Fear not. Fear not. Don't be afraid. I'm here to reassure you what's going about to happen. The children of Israel, when they fled Egypt, they were to pass through the Red Sea. Now, this is interesting. You know, I would have probably lost it, too, if I'm out there, because here you are. You done left Egypt. You were in slavery. This man Moses who was here, and he left and was gone for a while. Now he's back, and he's freeing us now. Okay, where are we going? Out to the desert. Now you get to the Red Sea, you're stuck. You think you're stuck. So you think you left Pharaoh behind, but then all of a sudden you see in the distance all these chariots coming, and you're like, okay, we got the Red Sea here, we got Pharaoh here, we got nowhere to go. There's no fleet of ships that we can get on to take us across the Red Sea. So they're thinking they're surrounded and with no way out. But God is always with his people, right? So we go to Exodus 14, 13 and 14. And what did Moses say to them? He said, fear ye not, stand still. Now that's amazing. He didn't say, you know, prepare and, you know, do whatever. He said, no, stand still. And that's what we have to do sometimes. We're in a situation, don't know what to do. Options are low. We're freaking, okay, God, what do I need to do? Oh, I got an idea. Let me go do this. God's like, no, stand still. Because if you take your action and it's not sanctioned by me, you can make situations worse. So he says, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. This is the part I like. It's just kind of comical to me the way it's worded. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, it doesn't say you shall not see them again. This is what it says in the King James. It says, ye shall see them again no more. You shall see them again no more forever. Not just you're not going to see them until next year or 5 years later. You're not going to see them ever again. And that's what God does with our problems. We have problems. God saw them and said, you're not going to have that problem again. Now, some things do arise, but some things God says, you're not going to have that problem again. And I love God about that. Verse 14, the Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. That means don't talk. Don't say anything. Just sit and I just my words, bask in what God is doing for you right now. Just like a blanket. I saw it was on a movie. I'm not going to mention the movie, but okay, I will. So I know me and Brian like Star Trek. So it was on the movie Star Trek, and it was a show where it was about the Nexus, and that's all fictional. But Whoopi Goldberg, who played Guinan, was describing what she was in. It was like being wrapped up in joy. And that's how I imagine God sometimes when I have problems and God solves them. And I just sit back and I just, okay, I'm just wrapped up in joy. Because God's taking care of my problems. I don't have to worry about it. He's taking care of it. It says, sometimes we may appear as though we are surrounded with no way of escape, but God always has a way to save us and protect us. So, to the young people, I know I got to clarify young people, right? So if you're under 40, well, even if you're in your 40s, you know, you're trying to figure out, in your 20s, 30s, you're trying to figure out, what should I do with my life? You know, I got these talents, what I want to do? Think about, or go back and read Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 1, and we know that one, pretty familiar. It says, remember now thy creator, in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. So it's saying, remember God when you're young, because this is when God can really put his talents that he has given you to use for his glory. When you're younger, you're working, you're making money, and as we studied before, you can pay your tithes and offerings. You can help out with Pathfinder clubs. You can help out in the food bank. You can help out in other church activities. Then the gospel is being spread when you're young and you're able to do those kind of things. Going on mission trips and do stuff like that. Now, I like the way the clear word says it. I'm going to read this in the clear word. It says, remember your creator while you're still young and give him the best of your life. Because when you get older, things just happen. I'm sorry. he's smiling. Things just happen. You know, joints start aching. You start losing your memory. You know, things just happen when you get older. Things don't feel as good. You know, you get aches and pains. You can take the ginger. That helps. But it's not permanent. I'm telling you, you can take pain medication. It helps. But it's not permanent. It doesn't fix the problem. So given the best of your life. The years pass quickly, and soon you'll be old and will say to yourself, I surely don't enjoy life like I used to. And that's just a true statement, you know. It's just a fact. But that's what God wants us when we're young, and that's why when our parents were teaching us when we're young, do this, don't do that, do this, don't do that, read this, go here, don't go there, you know, stay on the course, because God is wanting our talents while we're young so we can go out and reach people and do things to his glory, to bring other people to Christ. It's not just, oh, God wants us and he wants to get me. No. When we learn about Christ, we want what other people know about Christ. And when we're younger, there's more ways to do that when we're younger, monetarily, physically, doing different things. So, the last one that I have, think about Lazarus, when Lazarus passed away. Okay, so this is going to be like a summation of everything, kind of wrap it all together. So Lazarus died, Jesus was away, right? They had sent word, hey, Lazarus, whom you loveth, is sick. Can you come heal him? What did Jesus say? Oh, we're going to stay in this other town a little bit longer. Now, he just got word Lazarus is sick. He could go heal him. He said, oh, no, we're going to stay over here just another couple more days. Then they said, okay, now we can head back. He's on his way there, another party meets him and says, oh, Lazarus is dead. You should have been here. You know, Martha's, you know, giving a hard time. If you had been here, but Jesus said, look, you know, it's best that I was away. Because now, what did people used to say to Jesus and some of the disciples when someone had died and they brought him back from the dead? Thing we would say today, oh, he was just passed out. You know, you did CPR on him, you know. But Lazarus was dead, how many days?
4.
There's no way this person just passed out. There's no way you can just do CPR and bring him back from 4 days. This person is dead. Dead and gone, you know. But what did Jesus say? He's just sleeping. It's okay. He's just sleeping. I'm going to go wake him up. Well, if he's just sleeping, everything's... No, okay, let me explain it to him, break it down. He's dead, but I'm equating sleep with death. I'm equating death with sleep. I have the power over that. That's what he told Martha. He says what? What he said, I am the resurrection. I want to make sure I read it correctly. I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me, even though he dies, he will live. And whoever lives and believes in me will not die forever. So we may die. We have loved ones that have passed away. But we know from Scripture that Jesus is going to resurrect them when he comes back. Amen? Amen. Then he asked her a question. Do you believe this? So it's not just, okay, I'm giving this statement, but do you believe it? Do you really believe what I'm saying? That's what Jesus is asking Martha, and he's asking us. Do we really believe what is written in this book? Do we? Do we? So, closing scripture, John 14, 1 through 4, and this is a summation of everything. So everything that we go through could be temporary, could be permanent, but we know whatever we're going through, even though it seems permanent to us with God, it is not permanent. God will fix it, even including up to death, because Jesus has the power to resurrect, to bring life back into the dead. So Jesus says what? Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God? Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. So he's saying, I'm telling you the truth. I've gone to my Father. I'm going to go build some mansions for all of you. I'm going to come back. I'm going to take you back with me. I go to prepare a place for you, verse 3. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, and the way ye know. So he's saying, where I'm going, you know, it's in the book. It's in scripture. You can read it. Other people that know about me have been saying it. Go ask them. They know. It's there. It's true. So when we're going through hard times, when things are stressing us down and getting us uptight, and there's confusion, go to the book. Go to Jesus. He says, you know the way, because I've shown you the way. Jesus has shown us the way. But we just got to trust him and obey what he says. So in 2023, with all the surprises, we know it's going to most of y'all know, so I can go ahead and put it out there. My oldest son just had a baby. Well, his wife had the baby, okay? So when I get that, he said that. So him and his wife had a baby back in January. And so that's something, you know, to be excited about. But then also you think about all the stuff that she's going to have to go through. You know, this world and its trials and its heartaches and its tribulations and things. But there's also good stuff. You know, birthday parties and going to school and meeting new friends. So it's good and bad there. But we have to remember that Jesus is going to always be with us. So in 2023, that's my appeal to you, is have assurance that Jesus is always with us. And will always be with us. Thank you. Amen.